At Wimbledon, we had history being made. Elena Rybakina beating Tunisia's Ange Jabeur 3-6, 6-2, 6-2 to become the first player from Kazakhstan to win a Grand Slam singles title at Wimbledon. And to talk about this history being made, I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen Higgins from crosscourtview.com and by WTA coach Gary Cahill. To you first, Stephen. At the start of the match, Ange Jabeur was dominant and it looked as if the occasion was getting to Rybakina, but she emerged victorious in the end.
Yeah, it was interesting to see how was she fare in the final, her first major final, the first major final for either player. After such a dominant performance against former Wimbledon champion Simona Halep in the semi-finals, you're wondering, could she replicate that kind of form in the final? Initially, she did not. Ange Jabeur, the much more experienced player, the current world number two, has been the best player on tour apart from Iga Swiatek. Really was able to impose her kind of devilish game of slices and spins, upset the rhythm of Rybakina. And I think she made 17 unforced errors in the first set alone. She obviously, the moment got to her, understandably. But then she turned around the momentum into the second set and started to hit, you know, big serves to the spots she wanted and started to dominate from the baseline. And then showed, I think, some really impressive craft and touch. When Jabeur tried her shenanigans around the net to bring her in to kind of force an error, she actually has decent touch and she was able to live with Jabeur's field shots and then dominate again from the baseline and from her serve. So it was a really impressive performance, particularly the way she turned it around.
And there's a certain irony in this because she was born in Moscow and up to 2018 she was attached to the Russian Tennis Federation and then she moved. Why?
Well, she moved for funding. There's a number of players who represent Kazakhstan who have gotten better support. So they've switched from being Russian legions. So there's people like Yulia Putintseva. So she moved for funding. It's actually funny. I was wandering around Roland Garros a few weeks ago and on an outside court, there was a coaching session going on, quite a frustrating one. No one watching it, maybe one person. And the coach was trying to make the player apply more spin to the ball by flapping the ball over the net. And it was your current new Wimbledon champion.
Wow.
And he was given out. Like he's an interesting character, her coach. But it just shows, you know, keep applying yourself. You never know where you'll get.
At that stage, you weren't putting money on her to win Wimbledon. Gary Cahill, disappointment for Ange Jabeur. She would have been the first African, the first Arab to win a Grand Slam title. And she has such fight in her and is obviously one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would have been great for the sport to see her winning it, but like she has achieved so much and so much for tennis in Tunisia. Actually, you know, looking at the match and listening to Stephen, I think that, you know, this match was always going to be played on Rybina's terms. You know, she's a much more aggressive kind of game style. And I think when she started settling into the match, she just had a little bit too much for Jabeur. And Jabeur had a chance in the third set at 3-2 to break back a couple of break points, but it looked like she kind of tightened up a little bit and Rybakina had just the weapons to really out-muscle her in the end. But look, yeah, still a great week for Jabeur.
Yes, indeed. And obviously the fans' favourite as well. That was clear from the commotion during the match. And Rybakina, she's 23 years of age, Stephen. So is the world her oyster now?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we've been in this position before. We've had a lot of first-time winners. We have Bianca Andreescu, Elena Ostapenko. We've had Emma Raducanu. Whether you can judge if they have lasting power, I've given up, actually. I'm not that old, but I've given up kind of saying, oh, they're going to go on and dominate and win, you know, 5 and 10 Grand Slams. I think Iga Swiatek just had a special quality about her with her footwork, with her composure, with her all-around game, that when she won Roland Garros the first time, you kind of knew she'll just be a force. And, you know, took her a while maybe just to get over that and during the pandemic, but she obviously had her 37-match winning streak. She'll be around. She's going to be a constant factor. With Rybakina, yeah, on fast surfaces, her game is very similar to someone like maybe a Petra Kvitova or Maria Sharapova probably. And
Is she potentially the new Maria Sharapova?
I suppose no one is the new Maria Sharapova if you're being diplomatic, but she has been a very good player for a while. She actually, her momentum was derailed by the pandemic. I suppose all of our meant was derailed by the pandemic, but she had been into four finals going into 2020 up till March, basically, and then she couldn't adjust, obviously, to the new world that we were in. So it's great to see her get back into form. Justin McGarry said as well, it is very sad for Anja Boer. Like, she's a fabulous story, a great person, and her game is brilliant. And so it was one of those finals where I didn't really mind who won, because you love the style of Jabeur. And I hope that she can kind of recover well. She's had an outstanding season, so hopefully she can move on into the North American hard courts and kind of continue that form.
It struck me, Rybakina, she seemed cool as a cucumber, Gary, even when things weren't going right for her. Just emotionless almost. Even at the end, her celebration was very subdued. Good characteristics?
Yeah, but I was thinking to myself that Kyrgios would probably celebrate after each point more than she celebrated after winning Wimbledon. She looked pretty much. But that can be good in tennis. I mean, the emotions being fairly stable can help a tennis player, that they're not too high or too low. She seems pretty well able to control it. But yeah, it looked like after she won the title for a couple of minutes that she didn't know where she was. I think somebody had to tell her to go up to her box and congratulate her team. He's pretty calm.
Yeah, pretty calm individual. Okay, let's turn our attention to tomorrow. Nick Kyrgios and Novak Djokovic. Stephen, what do you reckon? Kyrgios has played him twice and beat him twice.
Yeah, you know, you'll get with Kyrgios, tedium, dullness, nothing to talk about. Very interesting match. This is the big opportunity for Nick. Nick has made fireworks on and off the court, often for negative reasons, since his breakthrough in 2014. He always suggested that he could compete with the best guys. He has beaten all the big guys of the top three. And now here's his opportunity. It was always going to be the best Grand Slam for Kyrgios, Wimbledon. Obviously, it opened up with the absences of certain players and the banning of other players. He's into a final. He's playing Novak Djokovic. He has a 2-0 head-to-head record. It's quite a long time ago. 2017, two matches on hard courts. But he has the kind of style, if he can sustain it over the five sets, with that serve that's so hard to read, such a quick action, with undoubted talent, like incredible, astonishing ability on the ball when he focuses his mind. The question will be, when he faces the juggernaut that is Novak Djokovic, going for a seventh Wimbledon title, trying to match Pete Sampras, someone who is just the best grass court player in the world, basically now, can he find that level, or will we have all the shenanigans that we generally associate with Nick Kyrgios?
Gary, what's your own assessment?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on a couple of things. I think the serve and particularly return of serve are going to be the two most important things. How Kyrgios serves and also Djokovic's return, because he's the best returner in the world. I think overall, I think Djokovic will have too much for Kyrgios from the back of the court. It will depend a lot on the quality of serve. But in five sets, I think Djokovic should win this one. He's more experienced, been there so many times. But, yeah, Kyrgios has a game to hurt anybody. I just favour Djokovic to withstand him over five sets.
And Stephen, your own prediction?
Yeah, I think you have to be honest and say about Novak Djokovic is one of the three best men who've ever played tennis. You need help from him, unless you're, say, Rafael Nadal or maybe Roger Federer in his peak. So Kyrgios at his best will not beat Novak Djokovic at his best. So he'll need some sort of help. The serve is absolutely crucial, as Gary says, the first serve percentage in particular. We've seen this story a million times before. When Novak Djokovic gets interested and involved in return games, particularly early, you're in big trouble, because his serve is so strong. He's so aggressive from the back on his serve. And then he is the greatest returner probably in history. So a lot will ride on, can Kyrgios get through his service games somewhat efficiently and be able to apply pressure then to Djokovic. The only thing maybe in his favour is Djokovic has dropped, I think, five sets in Wimbledon so far. Maybe there's a slight decline in the concentration powers. At some point, you know, you're thinking you can't maintain his form into 40, into 45, although maybe these guys will. But absolutely, the favourite is Djokovic.
All right. Okay. Stephen Higgins from crosscourtview.com. Thank you.